Hey everyone, this is our Midweek Leadership Podcast. We believe that as you listen to it, it is going to move your life forward. So get ready for an amazing message.
Good morning, everybody. I am going to do my best talking into this microphone because I usually am just loud. So first, I am honored to be here. And I know the pastors aren't in the room, but I want to thank them for always just being amazing leaders, but also just trusting me in this space. Today, we're going to talk about something we run on here at New Heart. It's called, it's We Protect Unity. Funny story about this is I had something completely prepared. If you see me looking down at these notes, it's because God told me I am not writing what I was supposed to be. So last night he told me to start over, and I tried to convince him otherwise, but it didn't work. So before we start, let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity, God, that we are able to be in a room together with other leaders, God, that are here and eager to hear from you. God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth are not my words, but what you desire everyone to hear. In your name we pray, amen. All right. Well, everyone in the room and online, let's hit this. We protect unity. So first, let's just talk about unity and why it's important. I'm a definition guy, so I looked up a definition of unity. It said, a state of forming a complete and pleasing whole. I read that, and I was like, great. How am I going to talk about this? Because that just explained it, right? So I thought, why is unity important? When I thought that, there were some examples that came to mind. One was a three-legged race. I don't know how many people have done three-legged races or at least seen them. In this three-legged race, you and your partner have one leg that's bound together. Unity, whatever it is, to finish. Well, if you're not moving in unity, if that two legs that are bounded as one is not moving at the same time in the same direction, you end up falling on your face. And I don't know about you guys, but I am not happy about falling on my face. Another one is I used to play rugby, and in rugby, there's a thing called a scrum. Scrum is made up of eight players, and in the scrum, they're bounded tightly together to form one whole piece. This scrum is very powerful, but there was a team that actually wanted to put it to the test. What they did was they went against a Formula One race car. They set up to where there was a sled and a race car on the other side, and they counted down and they said go. Well, they broke it down mathematically in ways that I can't even understand. I am not a math genius, but basically, it was stated that the car was operating at about 1.7 G-force. That made no sense to me, so I had to find out what a G-force was. From what I could tell, and I could be wrong, but one G-force is roughly equal to about 22 miles per hour. So this car was moving over, or trying to move over 22 miles per hour worth of force against eight players bound tightly together. These players were able to hold the car at bay, which is amazing, right? So, but then I thought, what would have happened if one player lost that binding? What happened if one player wasn't giving their part into this full scrum? Nothing good would come from that. And then there's even the example of something as simple as lifting something heavy. We do that a lot here. We have to do these team lifts where we got to move big N's or big H's. Here we go, one, two, three, or hey, A, don't lift with your back, lift your knees, you know, like, or your legs, sorry. But if you don't do that, if there's not unity into the movement of where you're going and talking and communication, something's going to end up happening. We're going to break an H, or we're going to hurt ourselves, or anything like that. And as much as unity can sound churchy at times, the fact is that we actually use this in all areas of our lives constantly. And most of the time, we don't even realize it. And also, it's important to know that Unity doesn't mean the same. It doesn't mean that we're all the same, we have to do everything the same way. It actually is different parts coming together as one. A word that's actually associated with unity is harmony. And the definition of harmony is the combination of simultaneously sounded musical notes to produce chords and chord progressions that have a pleasing sound. Side note, have you ever noticed that definitions always have the biggest words? And I hate that. So I read that, and I was actually imagining our worship team on a Sunday. And I imagined how it sounds, how amazing it sounds when the band and the vocals are playing in harmony or unity. And the fact is that they're not all playing the same notes. They're not all singing the same things. But the end result is a beautiful sound. Another great example is our bodies. They're made of different parts. They're made of different parts that do completely different things. In Ephesians, it says, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does, it is its own special work. It helps the other parts grow." And in 1 Corinthians, it says, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ." In both verses, it talks about how our body is made of different things that complete one thing that operates in unity. But in 1 Corinthians 12:12, it goes on to actually compare it to the body of Christ, which is God's church. So if God created our bodies of different parts to form and to actually work in unity, wouldn't it just make sense that, or if we are actually compared to God's body, to the body of Christ, wouldn't it just make sense that his church is to be unified? So we figured out what unity is, and we figured out why it's so important, but then we protect unity. So why do we protect it? In the examples earlier, we talked about, you know, well, if you don't are unified and running the race, you could fall on your face, or you could break a piece of furniture. You could, or like the rugby team, you could get ran over by a race car. I mean, you never know. But then the truth is, it's actually much more than that. As the body of Christ, we have purpose in our lives. God has called specific things out of all of us through, though they may be different from each other, they are all for to be formed together and work in perfect harmony. And it sounds nice, and it sounds warm and fuzzy that, you know, there's this unity and everything's going to be nice, but the fact is that it's not. There's actually an opposition to unity. This opposition is a trickster. He areas in our lives to attack. See, he'll whisper things in your ears like, you don't matter. No one notices you. You're not valued here. No one loves you. They don't know what they're doing. You can't get what you're looking for here. And this one, you can do it better. See, all these things are things that he wants you to believe. He wants you to think that there's no such thing as unity. But the truth is, he does this because his only purpose is to kill it, because he knows that he has no power against a united body of Christ. In Ecclesiastes 4:12, it says, "A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken." Make no mistake, in our lives, as the body of Christ, it's not meant to be easy. It's not meant to be without sacrifice or without pain. The truth is, if we live out the purpose that God has given us, we become a target, and become a threat to the enemy. But what is our purpose? The purpose is simple. Our job is to tell people and to show people that they matter, that they are noticed, are valued, are loved, and we are better together. It's no longer a them, a they, or theirs. It's we, us, and ours. For we are all God's children, his masterpieces, his prized possessions. We are his church. But what does it mean to be a leader in the church? What does it mean to have unity and protect unity in the church as a leader? People to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, and that we will mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. As leaders, we believe the best in others. We encourage each other. We don't take offense. Instead, we are eager for feedback. We build up. We don't tear down. We invite others to run alongside of us. We protect unity. We protect unity because, one, God created us to be one. Two, to withstand the attacks from the enemy. And three, to fulfill the purpose that God has given every one of us, which is to build the kingdom of God. Pray with me, please. Thank you, God, for all you do for us, God. And I pray that as we leave here today, we leave with the feeling of unity, that we leave today and we see where in all aspects of our lives we are to be unified, God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hey, church, we hope this message has pushed you forward in your leadership and your relationship with God. We can't wait to see you this Sunday or in a Connect group. Have an amazing week. We'll see you then.